2SER acknowledges the custodians of the Gadigal and Darug lands from which we broadcast.
Hello and welcome to the Wide Open Air Exchange, coming to you from Gadigal country. I'm Christine Gallagher, and my guest is winner of the NAIDOC Education Award, Professor Eddie Cabillo. He's a lawyer and Aboriginal justice advocate who has served in many roles, including as Anti-Discrimination Commissioner of the Northern Territory, Director of the National Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Legal Services, and Director of Community Engagement for the Royal Commission into the Protection and Detention of Children in the Northern Territory, among many other roles and positions and activities. I'm sorry that I can't mention them all. Currently, Professor Cabillo is Director of the Mabo Centre. And I want to thank Eddie Cabillo at the outset because this was a very open and honest and sincere conversation covering some of the sort of mixed emotions maybe of the moment of receiving the NAIDOC Award, but in the context of some of the ongoing challenges and difficulties and problems that he comes across as an Aboriginal social justice advocate and a criminal justice advocate and as an educator. I'll leave the overture there. Let's get into it. I want to bring you into my conversation with Professor Eddie Cabillo, winner of the NAIDOC Education Award 2025. Professor Cabillo, hello.
Hi. How are we going?
Thank you so much for connecting. I'm so, so grateful and huge, huge, huge congratulations to you for the NAIDOC Award. It's really wonderful, really wonderful.
Yeah, it was awesome, to be honest.
Where are you at right now?
I'm on country at the moment. I'm up Larrakia country and I'm here teaching on country subject but about law. We go to our orgs and wraparound services, and we just finished with the DPP, and it's been a whirlwind couple of weeks when I first got nominated. I didn't know who nominated me, and I was up here and they said, you got to come to the thing. And I said, listen, I'm with students and I don't, I didn't think I'd win, and I just thought I'd continue doing what I'm doing, it was difficult. And, I went Friday and I came back Sunday morning. You know, it was also hard to celebrate, just because what's gone down at the university, just trying to, got up there and looked out into the crowd and saw all our people, and people you knew on the journey. I've been on ATSIC, I've been... been a lawyer and I've been an anti-discrimination commissioner, and I've been on the Royal Commission, and most of all, I really loved working for the National Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander Legal Service. It really gave me real strength to see our organisations, battling in the environment that they in and with very limited dollars, that's community control, and our people, established that from some 50 plus years ago. It's one of the oldest organisations in the country, and it was so proud working for them. And so, it was hard to deliver my speech, but I drafted it, and if I won, that's what I was going to do. But it was hard to get it out when I saw that who was there and who was out there. It was really, really difficult. But after it, I got my trophy and I went and did some media. I couldn't celebrate. I went back to my hotel room and just stayed there and really reflected on the last few years and what's been happening in the country. And I'm on the National Justice Policy Partnership for Close the Gap, and there's been heaps of attacks on our people with various tough on crime legislations throughout the country, and You know, it's frustrating and it's hurtful, and you know, but and I feel sad that I couldn't really celebrate with them all. But just for myself, I just had to sort of reflect and think about where to sort of next, you know, for myself.
Thank you for saying that, because in preparation of speaking with you and connecting with you, I've been reflecting on how to do this, because on the one hand, we're told that NAIDOC is about celebrating excellence and Aboriginal culture, and it's meant to be separate from the sorry business and everything. But how can it be, especially when you're being recognised for your work on, as an Aboriginal justice advocate, as a lawyer, as an educator? The big impression that I have about you is that you've been dedicated to public service in the interests of social justice, that you've been unafraid to call out institutional racism and other injustices, even at the expense of your own personal career positions. Can I just read to you, though, the description of the National NAIDOC Education Award? Because I think there is cause for celebration here. It says the National NAIDOC Education Award recognises exceptional individuals and groups in the education sector who have made a difference to the lives of students and communities. This award seeks to recognise individuals and groups who've made a demonstrable contribution to empowering Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples. Wow, that is what you're being recognised for. That's amazing. That's so great.
Yeah, look, it's again, it was really overwhelming, and like I'm getting teary now just thinking about it. But you know, like I thought I had a grasp on the issues in this country, right, for our people. And I was pretty ignorant, I think, when I went to a because I never went to a sandstone uni before, right? And you know, I did my undergrad in the Northern Territory, and I did a postgrad master's in at Flinders Uni, you know, international law and relations. And then after the Royal Commission that I worked on, I wrote a piece and I sent it to Professor Larissa Brent, and just said, "Can you help me publish it?" And she said, rang me back and said, "Listen, you write four more of these and you get a PhD." And I was just laughed, and I was like, "Yeah, no dramas, but I just want to publish this." And anyway, I ended up doing it, and look, and then I ended up in the Melbourne University, and look, I've worked in every Parliament House and in the country, you know, at a national level, and you know, like I said, I was a former anti-discrimination commissioner, but nothing really prepared me for working in academia, in particularly in the Law Academy. And I really it's really been a tough going. And you know, when I spoke that night, I said, "This is for all those that went before me." And that I don't think people know how tough it is working in those spaces, you know. And yeah, it was just really overwhelming. And I just got my gear and left. And like my table was texting me saying, "Where are you?" and everything. And I just couldn't respond. I was just like, you know, and just sent a message the next day to everyone to say, "I'm really sorry. I just couldn't be there." And I was sad because I couldn't. And I flew out the next morning, right? I flew out like 8:30, and I had 4.5 hour flight on the oldest Qantas plane you ever been on. And no Wi-Fi, nothing. And anyway, it was an interesting ride home and thinking about things, and really, you know, I got two kids and I got six grandkids now, and we're in for a tough time ahead, you know. And like I was just involved in writing a piece on the coronial on Kumanjayi Walker, and just we just don't seem to be going forward. And so that sort of played into my whole mentality, you know, and just thinking, you know, I'm dealing with Indigenous kids that come trying to get through the law school, and they and everyone else really doesn't have an understanding of what we give up to come to these places. We give up so much, and it's so So that was confronting for me, and just trying to, take in what I'd just done. And it wasn't easy. And I just said to you, I had to go, and I just had to go away because I didn't want to ruin everybody else's night.
On 2SER, this is the Wide Open Air Exchange. You're listening to my conversation with Professor Eddie Cbillo from only a few days after the NAIDOC Awards ceremony, at which he won the Education Award. I don't obviously know. I imagine that when you become a lawyer in this country, you are, in a way, you're going into the colonial system and trying to make a difference, from the inside. But then you are, I imagine, then you're subject to that colonial history within the institution. That includes within the law schools, the family lineages in law, law students who are privileged by having family who can guide them through the process and give them internships and become associates to judges and all of those things. And if you're not in that, if you don't have that kind of intergenerational privilege, the pathway is much harder for you in law. Now, I'm not obviously speaking from that, from a First Nations perspective at all. I do have I suppose what you would say, a kind of socioeconomic experience in that I grew up through public housing, and I have come to academia and PhD research myself much later in life. And so I have some understanding of those experiences, but not of the systemic racism, not of the Aboriginal experience in within those systems. And I don't know, when you said something you said just now was about what it takes to do that. And is some of that around that tension with being in the colonial systems and how you navigate that, how you are received there and how you resolve for yourself working within those institutions? I know there's a lot there.
Look, it's all okay until you question the validity of the legal system in this country, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, we're not, it's not rocket science, right? Our legal system's on shaky ground, right? It didn't follow its own systems of law in regards to how it's seeded this country. And we had a high court decision basically saying that, they lied about terra nullius and all of that. And so we can't even have the critical discussion without people getting offended and then questioning your scholar and where you've written papers and everything. And look, I don't hide from the fact that where I come from, right? I'm proud of where I'm from. And the fact is, I'm from the Northern Territory. I got connections all throughout it. My father's Arrernte, my mum is Larrakia and Wadji. And the fact is, I come from broken homes and everything, right? Like most Aboriginal people. But we do our damnedest to get ahead, so I don't pretend to be something I'm not. And the fact is, I'll question, the validity of the legal system, but it gets over. People are constantly undermining you and saying things, and I've had some real personal things happen to me in these places, and it's sort of like it's like they say to us all the time, just get over it and get on with it. And you do that, but then we're trying to teach that they're trying to teach that the law is fair and just and it's equal for everyone, right? And that's not how what the law is for us. That is far from what it is to our people, and you just like we've nearly got so many deaths and custodies and so many recommendations from coronials, and no one's paying attention to anything. We're just playing this ongoing litigious game where it's at our expense, and it's an industry where everyone's making money on crucifying us. And so it gets tiring, it's sad that I just could I wasn't up for it. And no disrespectful to the NAIDOC celebration. It
No.
was an amazing event when I was there,
Yeah.
but it was just me. I was just not able to let go, and so just I just had to get out of there. And the thing is, everyone understood who I text and said, "Hey, listen, I'm sorry, I just couldn't hang around." And that they knew, and they checked up and make sure I'm okay, and because everyone's been through it, and it's just how do we go into those things, rejuvenate you, and make you realize why you do it. And but I just had to go and relax and think about it again, and seeing everyone celebrating and all the black faces in the crowd, and proud and hugging when you walked in the door or when you seen them, and even when I was leaving with my bags, I had an elder come up to me and basically said he liked my speech, and that he knows some of my Cabela's. And I said, "Oh yeah, I'm sorry, what was your name?" And he told me his name, and I said, "Oh well, actually, we know each other. We were both on ATSIC together, and he was from Western Australia and I was from Darwin, right?" And so these are the sort of relationships you make on this whole journey, and I wouldn't change anything that I've done, his from giving up practice to go and sit on ATSIC, to doing the Royal Commission, and then trying to look inside this big privileged place of a law school, and really give my experience and understanding of what the system does to our people. And it's burnt me a little bit, and but I'll go away and lick my wounds, and I'll come back. But it's hard, man, because the job I'm doing, I really liked it, even with the disrespect. But there's only so much you can do, and you need to really look after your well-being, and because you've got other family around you, and they see you, and they know you're hurting, and so you just got to work out what works for you, and make sure that you sort yourself out so you can come back and fight another day. And I mean, that's where I'm at the minute. I've just went sideways at the university, and but the whole thought process is, should I just get out of that whole institution at the moment? And that's sort of where I'm thinking. I'm enjoying what I'm doing at the minute, but also I don't feel comfortable with how the institution is at in its current place,
This is Professor Eddie Cabillo, my guest on the Wide Open Air Exchange on 2SER 107.3 FM. As you're speaking, a couple of things came to mind of people who've I've spoken to on this program before in various kinds of advocacy roles. And one person was telling me how, when you work really hard in a kind of social justice advocacy capacity, you have to think of it as that you're part of a choir and you can't sing the whole time. Sometimes you need to step aside and you need to rest your voice. You need to have a break. And there's others who can continue, keeping the overall sound of the choir going. But you sometimes need to take time for yourself, or when you're ready, you can come and step back into the choir. I don't know if that's relevant to you, but that comes to mind. And the other thing is, the analogy of the aeroplane and the oxygen, and you got to take the oxygen for yourself, and you can't be, your ability to help others is restricted if you're not looking after yourself. And sometimes you actually do need to take that time to take the oxygen for yourself in order to be able to be there and be well for others. So I don't want to project any of that onto you.
I look after the Royal Commission. I heard a whole heap of things, and they weren't foreign, because you hear them from your own family, but they were really traumatic. And so you got to reach out, and you got to get help, and talk these things through, and you got to talk to your family and friends about where you're at. And it's not easy, but we can't just bottle it up, because we just go crazy, and we can't afford to lose our people, and And so, I've kept doing that, and of late it's been really difficult. But I think it's hard for us to go into these places because we already have these imposter syndrome, and then we get challenged on where we've come from and what we actually know. And but what we bring to the table is insurmountable, that these people, they have no understanding of. And when I know the students that I've dealt with over the last 6 years, they're up for it. They want to know why Indigenous people are not treated the same, and they want to have critical discussion about it. And that's the only way we're going to make change, because at the moment everyone's just hiding and don't want to talk about it. And if you do, this is what happens. They come hard, and you really need your friends. And that doesn't have to always be Indigenous friends. It can be friends of any color or persuasion. And I just the last few weeks has been tough. But one that you was nominated, and you just feel shit. I don't know if I'm, should be getting nominated for awards. And then two, when you win and you're not, but you don't think you're gonna win, and then it's just really overbearing, and that you look around the room and you see who's there, and you're just like, and it's a safe environment, right? And you haven't been in those safe environments for a while, and you just realize that there are people there for you. But when you're one out and you're in these institutions, you sort of lose sight of that. And I kicked myself a little bit that I left, but I was just, getting really anxious, and I just thought, I don't want to ruin anyone else's night. So I snuck off, and just thought I'd be ready to get on the plane in the morning and head back to the students, and finish the last week of the intensive subject that I'm teaching up here. But yeah, so look, I'm really grateful, and I'm really thankful that people recognize what I'm doing. Because at times you think you're one out, and no one's taking notice. So, but it's fantastic. All my family are really excited. Friends that I've known forever sending messages. Social media is getting a little bit crazy, and media's wanting to do interviews, but I'm teaching and it's hard to get away. So, but yeah.
I'm so grateful for this time. I had your, I have your speech here. It's so elegant and really, it's very efficient. So I can see the legal training there, because you say a lot in those three paragraphs. And I know you shared it to LinkedIn. That's where I saw it. I was going to talk through it with you, but I think you've covered quite a lot of it anyway. It was just the way I was going to get into it, but I think you.
I wanted to make sure that I spoke about it, because I don't know how I can do that without, and that's why I shared it on LinkedIn, right? And just wanted to let others know that, that there's some of us in the same boat, and how we, manage that is we all do it differently. But just trying to tell people about what happens internally, and those of us who do it differently or silently, that's okay. But when you're out front and you're getting slammed, sometimes you just really like to have, someone beside you, or just letting you know you're there for you too, But I understand that not everyone can stand in the front with a megaphone, and that's fine. But it's hard work, and those who've been doing it for a lot longer than me, you really know, tough that they've been, and and the respect that you have for them. You may not agree on everything they say or do, but you got to respect that they've faced this sort of behavior and have been there for a long, long time, you know, and
Yeah.
it's not easy.
This is the Wide Open Air Exchange program on Radio 2SER 107.3 FM. My guest is Professor Eddie Cabillo, winner of the 2025 NAIDOC Education Award. Professor Cabillo is an educator, an academic, a lawyer, an advocate.
I think it's crazy that there isn't more recognition and understanding of the systemic issues that they're not just historical. We're not just talking about some colonial history that's in the past. It's ongoing. It's evident. If you want to talk in, Western scientific, rational evidence terms, it's there. You can see it in the overrepresentation of Aboriginal people in our prisons, of children still being taken out of their families. When this is, this is there. This is evident. I'm so sorry that I can't be more eloquent about it.
No, I mean, you saying it like that is basically what it is, right? It's we're frustrated at just as much as what you're showing there. I mean, I was on a Royal Commission, and we produced 226 recommendations that none of them are actually being utilized on. So you know what I mean? Like, we're really we're in tough times, Indigenous people, and we're everyone's trying their best, but how we break down these systemic structures and these so-called frameworks that are helping us, most of them are there to keep us where we're at. And we're a penal colony, right? And that's our thought process. And so.
You know what you've been describing is of leaving the ceremony and everything like that, and that it sounds like kind of like a range of emotions and everything around this. But I do want to celebrate you. I think it's a really wonderful recognition. I think it's a great honor, and it's a really well-deserved one. And thank you for all the work that you're doing.
Thanks for the interview. And look, I just wanted to, I suppose, just let people know that it's everyone has it tough, right? And we just got to know who our friends are and also our family, and that makes sure that we're all looking after one another. And because things aren't great, and things look like they're getting worse if we look to Queensland and Northern Territory, Western Australia, and that. So all I can say is trying to do my little bit, and just hope that I can come through the other side at the moment and be refreshed and ready to go again. And but I just want to just encourage people, if they're struggling in that, to make sure that they go and speak to someone. And like you don't realize it, but people are watching, and they're seeing the hard work that you're doing.
And the hard work of Professor Eddie Cabillo has been recognised by the National NAIDOC Committee, which has honoured Professor Cabillo with the Education Award at the 2025 NAIDOC Awards ceremony. And it's been a privilege to speak with Eddie Cabillo on the Wide Open Air Exchange for 2SER.
Thank you so, 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 so much.
See
Thank
you
you. Thank
later.
you so much. And
Okay.
congratulations again on the award. It's so
Yeah, I
well
really appreciate
deserved.
it.
Thank
All right.
you. Thank you. See
Thank
you.
you.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks again to Professor Eddie Cabillo. And Professor Cabillo has given me permission to share a couple of things with you via the Wide Open Air Exchange homepage. A copy of the speech that he gave at the NAIDOC Awards ceremony, which you can also find on his LinkedIn profile, and access to his PhD thesis, which I've accessed via the UTS PhD thesis archives. And I would particularly urge you to read the first chapter, which covers some of Eddie Cabillo's personal and vocational experiences and his view of the legal system as an Aboriginal lawyer. You'll find those resources, sources and resources at wideopenairexchange.com in the posts tab. That is all for now. I'm Christine Gallagher. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll be back soon with another conversation on the Wide Open Air Exchange for 2SER.